hindsight. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? A bit like with those little brain teasers. Once you know the answer, it's really obvious, but until you do, maybe not so much. Sometimes we can be a bit unsure about what's going on. Sometimes we might get the wrong end of the stick. It might lead us even to making poor choices when we don't really know what the answer is. And as we consider the Palm Sunday story, we find Jesus yet again demonstrating just who he is, the long-awaited Messiah, rescuer, Son of God, without actually saying those words. And this seems to be his speciality. As we read through the Gospel stories and the other New Testament books, his identity now, as we read that, feels very obvious because we have the benefit of that hindsight, in fact, of other people's hindsight that we read. But at the time, we can read of his frustration with his disciples when sometimes they just didn't understand what he was really teaching them about. He didn't actually go around announcing himself as the Messiah. He demonstrated it in many ways, but he very rarely said it. And towards the end of his life, he became clearer with them, telling them that he would die and that he would rise again 3 days later. And earlier on, before that, at some point before that, there's that piece of scripture where Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do the people say I am?" And they answer, and then he says, "Who do you say I am?" He asks his own disciples, "Who do you think that I am?" And Simon Peter identified him as the Messiah, which Jesus confirmed. He didn't actually, according to how it's written, didn't say, "Yes, I am the Messiah," but he said, "Your knowledge doesn't come from flesh and blood. It comes from the heavens," I think, or something like that. So that was like confirming it. But he then told the disciples not to tell anybody. They had all of the information that they needed, the disciples. But when it came to Jesus's trial, they didn't really stick by him very well. And perhaps even at the point when that was when they were starting to doubt, even when he was being tried. Because how could the Messiah be sentenced to death? I'm sure they were fearful for themselves and their lives too. And I think it was really only after the resurrection, when they had seen him many times over 40 days, spent time with him before his ascension, that they could really look back and properly piece it all together like a big jigsaw and see the whole story. That was their hindsight of being able to look back. And this morning I'm going to focus on the theme of praising Jesus, which is just what the followers were doing when he entered Jerusalem on the donkey. And I have 3 points to guide us. I'm going to tell you what they are at the beginning so you can follow through. There are no like spoiler alerts here. Well, there are spoiler alerts, but I'm doing it on purpose so you know where we're going. So we're going to look at how we can trust that Jesus is worthy of praise. We're going to look at how we can praise him throughout our lives, no matter what. And we're going to think about how we're not alone in praising and worshipping Jesus. So our first point, if we can have that, thank you. We can trust that Jesus is worthy of praise. How do we know that? Well, I think there's actually many, many ways. I'm not going to talk about all of them, you'll be pleased to hear. But first of all, we must turn to scripture, read our Bibles. There are many, many prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah, which Jesus fulfilled. And on Palm Sunday, it was, as it was read to us earlier, in that one verse from Zechariah, it says, "See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly riding on a donkey." And that was Jesus fulfilling that scripture. And providing that we accept that Scripture is God-breathed and accurately tells us about Jesus and the growth of the early church, we can read about all that he taught and did. We have the experiences of people who knew him very well and stories of those who just encountered him along dusty roads but had their lives transformed by him. And we can benefit from his followers' hindsight and all that they did after that with their knowledge of who he is. If it turned out that Jesus was a fraud, that he was not the Messiah, it's unlikely, I think, that he would have stuck the course through Holy Week, allowing himself to be crucified. That just wouldn't make sense. And that's some of the evidence that people use to show that he is who he said he was. It's even more unlikely, I think, that his followers would continue his teachings, creating Christian communities, churches, that have grown across the world for 2,000 years. Or that they would have stayed true to their beliefs in the face of their own persecutions and deaths, which they did. Feels like it all hangs together. We also have first-hand accounts from people today who have had their lives turned around, enriched and saved by him. Some of them we read about. We might buy books about people who've had amazing experiences. Perhaps we've been to Spring Harvest or other Christian conferences or festivals and heard speakers. We can hear what they say about how Jesus has impacted on their lives. But you know what? Often it's the people that we know personally. And maybe it's somebody who's sitting right next to you now or very near you, who can testify to the love of Jesus and his power at work in their lives. There are so many of us who could tell so many stories about Jesus working in our lives, and that's just in this one church here now. It goes across the whole globe. And sharing our stories with other people is really important because it encourages, doesn't it? It encourages us as Christians, but also it can really encourage other people who maybe don't know much about Jesus yet to find out more about him and hopefully come to love him and follow him too. And when we have our interviews, so now in our all-age services, you remember we kind of sit around here, have a little interview from people. And this is exactly what's happening. It's people just talking about their life and how God has been involved and guided them, helped them, their joys and sorrows, but Jesus being there with them all the way. And I think it's a really wonderful thing to see. So be encouraged by that. And if you have stories to tell, then tell them. It doesn't have to be up here. It can just be over coffee. Let's really encourage each other. And those stories, we know, like if you buy a book of somebody, you know it's going to be probably fairly spectacular in some way, isn't it? But actually a lot of our stories are more on the down low, aren't they? You know, I might be able to say, God rescued me from a canoe when I was going down the Amazon. That's not my story. But I have a story that's far more gentle to me. It feels a lot more boring. And I know lots of people, lots of Christians feel that. They think, oh, my story isn't really worth telling. Or it's not very exciting. But it really is worth telling because it's personal and it's true. So let's not discount all of those little things that happen to us. Sometimes maybe it's just simply being able to say that we felt a sense of peace during a troubled time when peaceful is the last thing we would have expected to feel. Or maybe that it's just we know that God is looking after us. He provides what we need and he protects us and comforts us and he joins in our joys and sorrows as we journey through life. People can relate to that. All of these things and many more help us to know that Jesus is the Son of God, the one who died for us out of his great love, active in our world today. And our next point is that we can praise Jesus throughout our lives, no matter what. Knowing that Jesus is worthy of our praise brings us to this. We can praise him all the time. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. There will never be a time when he slips up, when he doesn't care, when he gets it wrong, or when he can't be bothered to be with us. That just will never happen. He is always good, and he is always God. I know that that does not necessarily equate with how we feel sometimes, but it is true. So I wonder when you find it easiest to praise him. And I'm not going to ask for answers. And I think, you know, maybe at different times in our life that might change. But when do you find it easiest to praise him? And I wonder if it's praising Jesus specifically is part of our spiritual disciplines. Not only, you know, it's easy when you just see something and go, oh yeah, that's amazing, I'll praise God for it, which we absolutely should do. But I wonder if we build it into our daily lives, regardless of how we feel. Perhaps it can be many different things, but you know, listening to worship music is a really good way to do that. Perhaps when you pray, you have a little format for how you pray, which includes praising him. There's, you know, you could probably all come up with a different way that you do that. Again, share your ideas over coffee. That would be really incredible. And I know that it's not always easy to do. We might be really busy. Maybe we're questioning what God is doing or seemingly not doing in our lives. But he does still deserve praise because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus himself, even knowing the sacrifice he would make with his very life, continued to honour his Father in heaven, to trust him completely. And if you haven't seen it yet, if you've not read your Connect yet, our newsletter that comes out, there's an article in it on prayer, and it fits in with this theme really nicely. It was actually written by Sham, and she sent it through. And if you've read it, then brilliant. If you haven't read it, then please do. It's excellent. She's talking about what it feels like when God is silent, when you feel like he's not hearing or answering our prayers. And it's really encouraging. It encourages us to keep going in our faith, even when it feels difficult. I'm sure you'll find it helpful. And then our final point, we are not alone in praising and worshipping Jesus. That might seem really obvious because we're all sat in church doing it, so obviously we're not alone. But actually, I'm thinking a bit more broadly than that. So if you ever feel like you're a bit isolated in your faith, then I want you to know that you are not alone. At any given moment, and perhaps you are physically alone, or you are somewhere that you feel that you're the only Christian, or no one else is sharing your experience, whether you would describe that experience as good, bad, or indifferent, there are people just like you who are worshipping. Maybe it's in the middle of the night when we're awake, we can't get to sleep, and the world feels very still and very quiet. Whatever the circumstances, There will be millions of people praising God around the world at any given moment. The angels and people who have gone before us into heaven will be praising God. Even the very disciples and followers of Jesus that we have been talking about on Palm Sunday are there praising God at this very moment. And we might not sense it, but we can know that it's true. And I think this is one of the joys of being in God's family, with an estimation of Christians in the world currently set at 2.2 billion people. He is with us all the time, and unites us through his love wherever we are. And, you know, today we could follow the time zones around the globe, probably at about 10:30 in the morning or so, and find millions of people gathering together, palm crosses in their hands and singing Hosanna, just as we are doing. And we would also find persecuted Christians in countries when they cannot gather, they cannot carry any sort of a cross because it would be far too dangerous, and yet they will still be worshipping the same Jesus, and they are not alone because we are here, part of their family. Now I wonder if you noticed Jesus' comment in the reading when the Pharisees told him to stop his followers from praising him, from being loud, for declaring him King and Messiah. Jesus said that if they were quiet, the stones would cry out. That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? Now, it might just be that Jesus was having a bit of a sarcastic dig at the Pharisees, suggesting that his identity and authority were so obvious that even the stones were more aware than the Pharisees were themselves, which they would have not liked one little bit. But there are many verses in the Bible about creation praising God, and actually, in Holy Forever, we sung that this morning. We sung all creation, praise, worship, sings probably, and we've sung that today. So Psalm 98 says, let the rivers clap their hands and let the mountains sing together for joy. Isaiah 55 says, you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And Psalm 148, this is a bit longer, but I would really like to read it to you because it's really beautiful and it kind of sums all of this up. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Wow, that encompasses pretty much the whole lot, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if this is just metaphorical or not. It may well be. But I do believe that there is so much about God and his kingdom and this world that he has made that we just don't understand fully because we are not God. I'm not sure if plants and rocks and stars are conscious beings, but maybe there is some kind of spiritual realm that we are just not aware of yet. Or it could be that the beauty of creation itself is a testament to God's goodness and power. Whatever it turns out to be, I find it very exciting. So as we journey through Holy Week, we can benefit from knowing how it all played out with hindsight. In the pain and sadness and horror of Good Friday, which is just a few days away, we can know that Sunday is coming and thank God for that. So be encouraged, wherever you are on your faith journey, that we can be confident in who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and that he is worthy of our praise. Be encouraged that whatever we go through, we can choose to praise him with whatever we have within us, however small. And even if we feel we can only want to praise him, then he will see our heart and honour that. And be encouraged that our worship joins with the worship of billions of people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, spanning all of time and across the globe, and even encompassing all that God has created. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this coming week, where we will focus on your identity as Messiah, Saviour, God's Son. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and that the power of hell could not hold you, and you are alive and with us today. We do praise and worship you. Amen.